Listen. Hello? We go out, we hit people in the mouth.
You play to win the game.
Next fan up.
I want winners.
Featuring Pod Vader and the Superfans.
They are who we thought they were.
Hello, ladies and gentlemen. My name is Mark Sitko. This is Next Fan Up, the podcast for the fans, by the fans. We are a group of 32 super fans, a fan for each team, and our amazing producer, Pod Vader. And we come together twice a week to recap games and set up previews going into games. We have just finished week one. You may hear a little sadness in my voice because I am the Eagles super fan, and we just lost to what I think is an inferior team, the Atlanta Falcons, although we played a horrible first half and they deserved it. With me today, though, as we do celebrate this week one, which was a glorious weekend of football, we're all happy football is back. I have two good super fans here with me today. First, I have Patrick Siska, who is our super fan for the Patriots. How are you doing, Patrick?
I'm doing great. I'm celebrating a victory for like 10 days. It's awesome.
Nice. Yeah, man. That's so unfair. You guys get the long week this week. Belichick is going to have some nice things ready. And then also I have with me Tom. Tom is our super fan for the Chicago Bears. How you doing, Tom?
I am psyched, and I'm celebrating a loss.
I've talked about on past podcasts there. I'm sure I can't wait to hear how you feel that Cutler did on this game, that game there.
I guess.
Very interesting. We'll get to that eventually. We'll get to that eventually, Tom. But I know you have, intimate and personal feelings with Cutler there. But we'll start off first. Let's go with Patrick. You had the game to start off all the games. You played on Thursday night. Your team came out over top. A team that a lot of people are saying are going to go to the Super Bowl, the Steelers. You guys won the Super Bowl last year. Clearly, you are the better team now. How did you feel about that game? What did you notice in that game?
It was great. It was a fun game to watch. I know it was the first game of the year, and it was the only game on Thursday night, so there's no reason a real football fan wouldn't show up and watch it other than, Roger Goodell. But under the game itself, it was fun. Like I was talking with Greg, the Steelers super fan, in a preview of the game last week, and he and I were pretty much going position by position on the team, talking about key injuries. We're both missing our starting running backs. We're both missing our starting centers. We're both missing our starting wide receivers, and we both had some pretty serious concerns about our defensive backs. So you could say we were pretty well evenly matched up, Steelers and the Patriots. And wow, did you see the difference in coaching on the field. And of course, Mike Tomlin in true Mike Tomlin form, when he's not busy, trying to trip kick returners on the sideline, he is looking for other reasons to distract from his terrible, terrible coaching job. And in this case, it was talking about how the Patriots were cheating by somehow, I suppose, convincing the NFL to cause interference with their headsets during the first quarter of the game. And that somehow was the reason why they left Rob Gronkowski uncovered.
Ridiculous.
I know you can split him out wide, but the dude is 6'6" and 270 pounds. It's not like you can't notice him.
No, I'm with you, Patrick. I was so – you know me. Like, you know where I stand on the cheating stuff and Deflategate and all that stuff. I don't want to bring any of that up. But when I started seeing that bull crap about, this is like them cheating in the first game of the season, I, for the first time, really saw, Patrick, what you talk about when people act, that they are so quick to go to these ridiculous excuses against the Patriots. That was ridiculous. Who cares about the stuff over the headset? I love Chip Kelly was even asked about this week. And Chip Kelly's response was like, I've heard all kinds of crazy things on the headset. I've heard flight controllers. I've heard radio stations. He's like, it happens all the time. And for them to then go up to the Patriots.
I hope you're not sitting there with like an air traffic controller listening to a Patriots game by mistake. That could be
exactly. That's great. I totally agree. You guys were clearly the better team, and that Steelers defense leaves a lot to be desired.
They were really poorly coached. I mean, I have to tell you that I was really surprised at, just like you said, Gronkowski. That he's the one guy on the field you have to know where he is all the time, and to leave him completely uncovered multiple times is just unbelievable. And I'm kind of wondering already, I think there were rumblings about Tomlin at the end of last year his seat might get a little warm by the end of the season.
Anybody other than the roomies, he'd be gone. But, I mean, they don't fire their coaches. They retire of old age, you know.
Right? I mean, even Cowher, I never liked Cowher. Until he won a Super Bowl, I never had any respect for Cowher. I felt about him like I feel about Tomlin. Just a lesser coach, horrible at time management, messes up things in a game that no professional ever should mess up. And then eventually he got a team together and he won a Super Bowl. And now he's treated, you know, and he's kind of retired and gone to broadcasting where I think he's much better. And strangely, they hired a guy I feel very similar about, Tomlin. I see him constantly making weird decisions in games. He messes up time management. He's not a great coach, and yet he will stick around for 12 years and maybe we'll win a Super Bowl. I don't know.
He did, number one, he did the most Bush League thing I've ever seen a coach do when he tried tripping a kick returner. Like a head coach of a football team. Like that's insane. But and I don't like hyperbole. I really don't. But last Thursday night legitimately was the worst coached football team I have ever seen in my life. Mm-hmm. Yeah, for the reasons that we just talked about. Like forget the fact that forget the fact for a minute that they were leaving Rob Gronkowski alone with no one within 10 yards of him. But even despite that, with all remaining defenders apparently concentrated on Julian Edelman, the dude still caught like 11 balls. And it's like they should not have been that weak against our offense. I can't believe we don't beat him by a touchdown, frankly. Like that's the sad part about this whole thing. And I gotta take the gleam off the rose a little bit. It, given how poorly coached that team was on both sides of the ball, frankly, I am concerned that we couldn't defend the run. And yeah, Roethlisberger was, granted, he is a great quarterback, but he was just throwing the ball around the field too. You know,
yeah.
We happen to have. You know, the more egregious offenses on the other side, everybody's focused on that. But it's not like the Patriots put together a juggernaut of a team in the offseason and just completely destroyed the Steelers. It's just, the Steelers completely destroyed themselves. That was an implosion. So my early concerns about the Patriots all still kind of hold true. I just get to celebrate this victory for a little while because I don't like the Steelers very much.
That defense is just not good. And the offense is going to have to carry that team. And I don't think they can do it. I don't think Pittsburgh's going to make the playoffs this year. They're going to have to convince me.
Wow, they were my Super Bowl pick. You're bumming me out. But after watching that game, I mean, but Bill is so good. I want to see them against a mortal coach. You know, when you're going up against one of the best coaches of all time, you know, I think like Patrick started this conversation, I think he was just completely outcoached. And then I want to go back real quick with that Edelman. I saw flashes of Welker in him last night. Like, there's times when Welker would make a play, and he literally looked like a little gremlin or like a little demon goblin thing. He would just be like, so mad. And there were moments with Edelman I was like, oh, he's like channeling the goblin of Welker right now. He was fighting for balls and making plays that I guess I don't expect out of Edelman, and it gave me faith that passing game is going to be very impressive throughout the year.
Edelman is a lot of fun to watch. He's very different than Welker, in that Welker was a surgeon out there. Like, he was very precise in his route running, always got open, found the hole in the zone, sat down, got the ball, turned around, went forward for a few yards if he could, but more often than not, just dove and like lunged forward for an extra yard or two and got on the ground where he was safe. You know, and Edelman is the opposite. Like, Edelman, he looks at his buddy Rob Gronkowski, and he's like, I want to play like that guy. And you have this medium-sized guy, you know, out there just throwing his body around, trying to wrestle for extra yards and banging into people. And there's always drama when Edelman has the ball in his hands. He's a ton of fun to watch from that perspective.
He plays angry.
Yeah. He does.
And he played great, man. I thought he had a great game. And, yeah, very, you know, hats off, Patrick. You guys are off to a great start. I think right now you guys are the favorites to win the Super Bowl again. And we'll see what happens. Tom, on the other side, you guys lost to Green Bay, who's probably the best team in the NFC. Let's talk about that a little bit. How did you feel about that game?
Well, if you talked to Bears fans and Green Bay fans and you didn't know what the outcome was, you'd have thought Chicago won this game because our expectations were so low, and justifiably so, that I think most Chicago fans came away pretty happy with this game. You know, it was far from perfect, but they played – reasonably well against a team that had them way outclassed. Green Bay in the first half of this game just shot themselves in the foot continuously, penalty after penalty after penalty at really critical times. And the second half was a little bit better for them, but really Chicago came down to earth a little bit as well, and they committed a few more penalties. Played a less than perfect second half, and that was where Green Bay pulled away and showed that they were the better team. Overall, you know, if you're a Bears fan, you're pleasantly surprised that your defense didn't completely fall apart and you only lost this game by 8 points. There's a lot of feeling good in Chicago about the Bears offense. They did run the ball reasonably well, especially considering the fact that their offensive line is kind of, I wouldn't say in shambles right now, but very, very unsettled because Kyle Long moved out to right tackle from right guard, and he didn't play there all, you know, preseason. So this was basically his first game ever doing it. And he didn't have a great game. He allowed a couple sacks. His replacement at right guard, Vlad Decas, didn't play very well either. He had two pre-snap penalties. But even given all that, they moved the ball okay. Jay Cutler played within himself, kind of managed the game okay. I won't say he played well. Ball placement was really poor. And he did throw a back-breaking interception in the fourth quarter that sealed the game for Green Bay. So what else is new? His passer rating was under 30. But if you read the papers today in Chicago, you wouldn't know it. You know, most people were pretty happy with how he did. And he's not really getting, I would say, overly criticized this morning. You know, if you're a Green Bay fan, you're going to be looking for them to clean a lot of things up. Their tackling was pretty poor, and that was probably the major reason why the Bears were able to run on them. But Aaron Rodgers was Aaron Rodgers. James Jones had a great game, made some wonderful catches. Really, he was well covered by the Bears' defensive backs. And they just beat them, you know, because they just had better talent. And that was the story of the game.
Watching the game, Tom, would you say that Jones or that Cobb are going to have the bigger year?
Randall Cobb's pretty good. He'll have a good year. He's very tough to cover in the slot. He's real quick, and he's tough to keep up with. But Jones will be the guy that will be going out for those deep passes, and he'll be up and going and getting it. And he'll have Aaron Rodgers throwing to him with perfect placement, you know, 30, 35 yards down the field. He'll be the guy that's going to rack up the yardage. He'll be the guy that will be scoring in the red zone.
All right, thank you. I think there's, you know, for fantasy football folks out there, I'm sure those are the kind of things. I mean, we're all like, as we are seeing our teams try to settle and find themselves, I know with our fantasy teams, we're all doing the same thing. Let's move on to the Kansas City and Houston.
They obviously don't think much of him because they did everything they could to find themselves a right tackle during the preseason. And in the end, they just had to give it up and move Kyle Long out there. But Vlad Decas was the last choice. I mean, he was, and it was fairly obvious to me, at least, why that was the case. He wasn't a disaster, but he wasn't good, and he's not going to get better. So, you know, they're going to have chronic problems at right guard. Kyle Long will get better. He'll be okay. But that right guard position is going to be a problem.
What do you think of the Kansas City-Houston game? Do you have any thoughts on that game? Did any of our super fans write in and give us something to think about for that game?
Our Kansas City game wrote in, and he emphasized a couple of things. Number one, Travis Kelce had just a wonderful game, I think. And, he's tight end, and I understand that he got a lot of really good separation, really showed himself to be maybe on his way to a pretty good year. And he was one of the stories of this game. On the other side, Hoyer did not play well, and Houston has a problem, as far as I can tell. Their quarterback situation, not good. Ryan Mallett came in, showed himself to be a little bit better, and now, as I understand it, their coaching staff is just going to ride out the week, and they're not going to tell you who's going to start until right before the game next week because they don't want anyone to know whether Hoyer is going to come back in or whether it's going to be Ryan Mallett. So that should be something to keep an eye on this week.
That's interesting. I see here also he mentions, this is Ken, who's the Kansas City super fan, that the first-round pick, Marcus Peters, had a really great game, interception on his first NFL snap. I mean, obviously that's really great. That's awesome to hear. I'm glad to hear. I like Marcus Peters a lot going into the draft. It's good to hear that he had a great game. Do you have any thoughts on this, Patrick?
So my key thought was that at noon that day, I woke up and I logged in last second, decided to bench Kelce on my fantasy team and put in Clay from Buffalo for no particular reason.
And, oh.
That was a poor decision, as it turns out.
Kelsey, yeah, he's been doing better and better, man. I'm really impressed with him. His brother is our center on the Eagles. And his brother is a big man who's also very athletic. So it's just interesting to see these two brothers. I'm always fascinated by that in the NFL, both doing really well. I think any quarterback, your tight end, you have a good tight end. That's the best friend you can have. And it's awesome to see that he's playing well there.
What do you guys feel about Alex Smith?
It's interesting you say that. So one of the things the superfan said when he wrote in, Ken, was saying that he was saying that if he can score three touchdowns in a half like he did in that game, it's going to change the narrative about him being a game manager. I'm going to say Houston's defense isn't that impressive because J.J. Watt is not this all badass that everyone says he is. And, yeah, Alex Smith put up three against them, but Houston's supposed to be bad. I personally am not that in love with Alex. How can you like a quarterback who can't throw touchdowns to wide receivers? I mean, it's as simple as that. We'll see when he changes that. Did he throw? I don't think he threw a touchdown to a wide receiver in this game. I think that streak is still going. Yeah, and it's like Macklin is amazing. Like Macklin's maybe not a number one. He's somewhere between a number two and a number one, but he's a great receiver. He has no more excuses of not having weapons in there. I mean, with Kelsey, I just think he really is a game manager, my personal belief. And I think that's fine. To be perfectly honest,
I think that's fine. I'm agreeing with you. Like I think
I remember when
Kansas City signed him and I tried pulling the Kansas City super fan down from the ledge. Yeah, they had the first overall pick, and I don't know, he's gearing himself up for failure, I suppose. I guess he'd rather draft first overall and get a flub than Alex Smith, but you know, look across the lines at the Texans. Would the Texans not love to have Alex Smith? Or the Browns or the Jets
or the Bears.
Or the Redskins or the Jags or like just run down the list of teams with suspect quarterbacks. Half the teams in the league would love to have Alex Smith.
I totally agree. And I think people like even Roethlisberger and Brady, who are two of the best quarterbacks in the league, are kind of that style of quarterback. Like, they're not the Rodgers. They're not the, like, I can make every throw perfect from everywhere. They just are – you can't stop them. They're going to make the five-yard throw consistently. It's like a running back you can't stop. They can keep drives alive. And that's all you need. You know, that's really all you need.
The days of Jim Plunkett are over. I mean, you know, Joe Montana killed that offense for pretty much the entire NFL when everybody just saw that you can progress the ball down the field reasonably reliably, control the ball while passing, taking a big, relatively large chunks of yardage with catch and run without the risk of just uncorking it deep and seeing what happens. And Alex Smith is very good at that. Plus, I love the smart guys, like guys that get high. Wonderlic scores I always fall in love with. I don't know why.
Mm. No, I completely agree with you, and I think that's very astute of you to notice that it changes with Bill Walsh and Joe Montana. I think you're exactly right. As the West Coast came in, we realized that was a completely viable way to play. And not only that, it gains you a lot of control. When you can drive at your own pace and decide how quickly we gain yards, you gain so much control in a game. Let us move on. Cleveland, New York, a game of two teams I'm sure none of us are that excited about. I was impressed with the Jets. Could win 31-10. What do you think, Patrick? I mean, obviously fascinating that Manziel had to come in so quickly and that the Jets were able to win so handily with a backup quarterback. What are your thoughts?
I think that we are still looking for a Bill superfan, and Rob, the Brown superfan, should probably just jump ship now because he has nothing to look forward to. But,
I love it.
I like Rob. He works hard. He does, you know, his write-ups all the time and everything. And it's just like, man, like, you're not gearing me up to get excited about the Browns. I can't. And I hate the Jets. I hate the Jets with a bitter passion. You know, and they're terrible. And
did you expect them to win this game, Patrick? Would you have thought they'd won ahead of time?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I would.
Wow, that just makes the Cleveland. How bad are you that going into a game against the Jets with their backup quarterback, you're the underdog? I mean, that's just crazy to me.
Cleveland was terrible.
The Jets are good, and the Browns have the same quarterback problem that the Jets do, arguably worse. And you know, but the rest of the Jets is a stacked roster. Like they're a good football team. So if the best you have on the opposite side is a terrible backup quarterback, you know, like, how are you going to beat them? So, I mean, I'm not surprised that the Jets beat the Browns. I'll be surprised if, you know, the Jets beat the Patriots. Like, that'll surprise me. But, you know, like, the battle of the doormat teams, like, I'm not surprised the Jets won.
It is mildly disappointing, just mildly, that Manziel didn't do better, because he actually didn't have a bad preseason as when he played. And, you know, it looks like his major problem is just protecting the football right now. I mean, a couple of fumbles and, you know, an interception. And you're right, he's a pretty bad backup at the moment. But every once in a while, he'll flash like he did with that first touchdown pass. And it kind of makes you wonder if there isn't some hope there even yet. Like, maybe he's just flashing enough to where, given another season of seasoning and, you know, getting himself together, he might not do better. And I don't, you know, I don't particularly like the guy, but I hate to see talent wasted. And I sometimes wonder if, given time, he might not still end up being a decent NFL quarterback. You can only hope that that'll happen.
Tom, yeah. So you just said a couple of days, like, you say you don't like the guy, but you hope it'll happen, that it gets turned around. Do you think that, in your opinion, public opinion on Manziel has changed this year? Because I feel like it has. Like, I feel like he's gone from, you know, a party joke that everybody just hated at this time last year, to now people are rooting for him.
Yeah, I think that's true. I have a nasty suspicion that he's really trying very hard to turn it around. And, you know, it was all, and you could tell last year, I could tell, that it was all verbal. It was just all hot air coming out of his mouth. And that he wasn't really putting in the effort that he needed to learn the position. But I saw enough during the preseason to make me think that that's not true now, and that maybe he might be working hard enough to where he might be able to take advantage of his talent and become a decent quarterback. And I hope that that happens, because I'm a football fan. And I think that there are a lot of other football fans out there. And when you break it down to its core, we'd like to see good football. And if he can play good football, I want to see it.
And one of the things that I learned about, you know, sports back when I started playing, I was like 18 years old, you know, about football specifically, is that there's no BS in it. You know, like, you can try and manipulate the media, in this case, for a week, or your coaches or your teachers or your friends or your girlfriend or whoever, you know, about what you're doing out there. You know, but as soon as the pads come on, you're either doing it or you're not. You know, it really shines through. And I'm not suggesting that we try and read it into his psyche by the way he plays football. I think people do a little bit too much of that. But, you know, when you get the combination of a redemption story, which runs in the papers, and then you see, like, a physical transformation in his play from year to year, which we're not seeing right now, but let's say hypothetically that we are, like, if he plays like he did in the preseason, you know, then that's when I think sports become most powerful, you know, like, as a viewer. Like, we know how hard this was. We know how bad he was. We've heard all the stories, and now look at what he's done with his life. Like, yeah. That's something I really want to root for.
Yeah, football in particular, and sports in general, it's about overcoming adversity. And if you can do that, you got my support, baby, because I think that's what it's all about. And I think that's what it's all about, not to, you know, get too philosophical, for all of us. And I think that's why it's inspirational to see things like that happen. And that's why I hope it happens here, because I like to see people, you know, up against it and overcome the odds to succeed. I really do.
Yeah, I love that concept, Patrick. You're saying there that there's no BSing it, you know, when it happens. I try to explain, especially when I'm trying, there's like my wife or a woman that doesn't usually understand at all my love of football, my friend's love of football. And the thing that I always come back to that I think is really the essence for me is that I think maybe, you know, philosophically, like we're talking, maybe because we don't have war anymore and we don't get to go out and, or not the war that like most citizens used to be a part of, battling as men and fighting each other. And it's different now, right? We're a civilized place. But that there's something that is physical that is going to matter. We're going to make it matter because we're only going to do it once, and you either do it or you don't. And that element of like a fourth and one we're going for it here, and it's either going to happen or not, and there's no denying it. It's absolute is what I love about it. Is like you said, Patrick, it's a true – the way I think of you saying it, Patrick, is it's a true test. There is no BSing it. You either it won or public. You didn't. In public, in everybody front of thousands of people. And yeah, that is Jaguars, amazing. Everybody sees it. Yeah. And I love what you guys are saying at the Redemption and wanting to hear, you know, that you're – I think it's great how you said that, Tom, that your love of football is – that alone makes you root for Manziel. That's a great sentiment and a great idea. Talking about rooting for an underdog, man, Buffalo killing Indianapolis. Who saw this coming? Who thought that Buffalo was just going to trounce Indy this weekend? What did you think, Patrick, looking at that game? Are you afraid of Buffalo now? Is this a team that is a contender? What do you think?
I have said on every podcast I've been on, someone's asked me that question, and my answer has always been yes. I am concerned about Buffalo because they had a really, really good defense before Rex Ryan got there, who is a really good coach, who made Mark Sanchez a competent quarterback for a time. You know, like, Rex Ryan is a buffoon, yes, and he's easy to poke fun at, which I love as a Patriots fan. I love having an easy target sometimes. And he invites the criticism, too, which makes it even better. But damn if he's not good at his job. Like, he is really, really good. And, you know, he made a couple of moves when he got up there to show up the roster and some weak points, which, I mean, I thought they bought high on some guys. I mean, I was critical of the trades, as you know, being on the other side of at least one of them. But the Colts are soft. Like, the Patriots play the Colts pretty frequently. A little game called the AFC Championship last year, and they're a soft football team. They cannot really do much without Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton, and that when the team is built around those two guys, you're really not going to be able to compete consistently. Like, sure, they'll blow it up in their division because, you know, they play terrible teams in their division. But, I mean, the Bills aren't that. The Bills are strong on the lines, and the Bills are built to run the football, and guess what the Colts can't do? I mean, they're terrible at it last year. They made no moves to improve it, and they had a key injury on the defensive line, you know, late in the preseason. So what happens? Like, your weakest area of the team gets weaker, and it plays into the other team's strength. I'm not surprised at all that the Colts lost. I'm surprised that it was as humiliating a loss as it was. I watched probably half this game and, you know, then went around and did some other things with my family that were more productive. But they just got manhandled.
Have the Colts taken a step back from last year? That's what I think might have happened. I don't know this for sure, but I know, obviously Buffalo's coming out of nowhere, but could they have taken a step back?
No, they were paper division champions last year. They weren't that good last year. I mean, they just weren't. If you watch them play consistently, and granted, I didn't watch any Colts game last year. I watched them play the Patriots, and I watched them get stumped. You know, but I was looking at that team, and I'm like, how is this the division winner? And then I looked at the rest of their schedule, and I'm like, oh, that's how.
It's like NFC South. Yeah, very similar.
Yeah, basically. They made it in by default. So,
yeah.
I mean, fine. And I know I'm taking a lot away from them, and that's not particularly cool. And we're not citing anything that the Colts superfan wrote in, which also is not cool. I'm shifting my duties there. But,
you pretty much said it.
I thought they're terrible.
Yeah. I do have one question. Since you saw half of this game, my understanding is Tyrod Taylor was the same guy we saw in the preseason, which is pretty good. Is that your impression as well?
Yes, but I'm gonna say the jury's still out on it. I mean, he's fun to watch. He's a ton of fun to watch. But I mean, we'll see. Because I spent that entire time talking about how terrible the Colts were. So I mean, if he could string it together for three or four games, then great. But I mean, I love Doug Flutie when he was their quarterback too. Yeah, doesn't mean he's a great quarterback. We'll see.
I do have to give one shout out to Shady. I thought Shady played better than I was expecting him to play in Buffalo. He had a great game. I think he's going to have a better season than I was expecting. He won't have as good a season as he's had under Chip, but he'll have a very good season there. He was catching the ball well. He was running the ball well. Moving on to the Miami-Washington game, What do you guys think? I mean, obviously, Ron is a very active super fan. His team was losing to Washington most of this game, and it was able to squeak out a barely a win against Washington. I'll start with you, Tom. What do you think? I mean, obviously, we all think Washington is not a great team. They lost their best weapon, DeSean Jackson. Do you have any thoughts about this game?
I do. The first thing I'd suggest to our listeners is that they flash on Ron Caniff's. Ron Caniff is our super fans. Flash on his podcast, Unsquish the Fish, because it was pretty interesting after such – well, they won, but let's just say that the play was pretty poor, and the podcast reflected that. And I think it was fairly entertaining. So if you want a really good breakdown of this game, a good 45 minutes worth, that's the place to go. Just to hit on some of the things that I know upset him, he was very, very upset by the way Washington was able to run the ball up the middle on the Dolphins. As you might expect, Ndamukong Suh was double-teamed and sometimes triple-teamed. Suh is used to that. Nobody ever played them when they were in the NFC North without doing that. And what happened when he was in Detroit was the other defensive lineman picked it up and filled in the gaps and took advantage of the one-on-one matchups that they were getting handed because all the attention was on Suh. That apparently did not happen yesterday with the Dolphins. In particular, Cameron Wake, who was the guy who really should be taking advantage of this, did not. And apparently he was very ordinary yesterday, despite the fact that he wasn't getting the attention he usually gets. Ron points out, I think probably very accurately, that their inside linebackers are very average, and their inside linebacker is, and they're pretty upset by the play of the linebackers in general, because they too needed to be able to stop the run if Suh was occupied. So they really, I mean, there were a lot of things that didn't go well in this game. Tannehill wasn't good. His passer rating was, I think it was 93, but apparently his play did not reflect that. And they were a lot of short passes. And, Tannehill's not really known as a great deep passer in the league. And apparently his play reflected that yesterday. A lot of things didn't go well for them, and they were pretty upset. Washington, they imploded in the second half, from what I can tell. You know, they actually played well enough in the first half, given the way the Dolphins were playing, to win. And they kind of fell apart. And, maybe you'd expect that, given that roster, which is pretty poor. But they can't be very happy today either. Because they had an opportunity to win this game and blew it.
Yeah. No. I think Washington has got to figure a lot of things out, and it's going to be a long season for them. I was very impressed. They were playing well at the beginning of that game, but to lose DeSean Jackson now with a hamstring injury, which could be a while, they're going to be in real trouble. I love that they're taking RG3 and putting him as the third-string quarterback. I heard rumors that he even played safety on the scout team in some of the drills this week in practice. That is amazing, where you're like, yo, you have something, a clause in your contract that you get paid over $15 million if you get hurt. All right, you're not going to be active on game day. Really, really a crazy situation for RG3, and we'll see where he ends up. Patrick, do you have any thoughts on this? Are you threatened by Miami? Is Miami coming for your crown?
Not really. And this drives Ron crazy. Like, Miami is the only team in the AFC that I'm not particularly concerned with. And he's all bent out of shape, and he's been bragging all through the preseason about how they're going to, win the AFC East, and they're going to turn the tables on the Patriots and whatever, Ron. Like, talk to you when your team's 8-8 for the first time in forever. I want to know, because I am always concerned about Cameron Wake. How is basically the right half of the Washington team's offensive line? I almost called them the bad word. I have to stop myself.
I think it's pretty bad. I think all of the Washington's offensive line is pretty bad, unfortunately. There was one Cameron Wake play where he ran and he was unblocked. He didn't like it. I agree with Tom. He didn't have as good of a day as he needed to, but he should have had a better day than he was, I think. Yeah, no, no. I think it's good for you. I think Cameron should have done better. Washington, I don't think of their offensive line being very strong. They were able to run for 121 yards with Alfred Morris. Yeah, that's all strange. Ron loves to talk with me and Ramona Rice about how Miami runs the exact same offense as the Eagles. And I was just, of course, this was me jinxing myself. I was laughing at him saying, you can't put up more than 10 points against Washington. I was like, oh, my God, Chip Kelly would score 10 points on Washington before the game started. Like, are you kidding me? Like, geez, man, it's really funny. I'm just like, that is not the same offense. I don't know what you're describing. I understand it's similar, but no. No one does what Chip is doing right now.
They throw an oblong ball, maybe? Like
yes, exactly. There's running and passing involved. But other than this, I don't know what you're talking about. Carolina and Jacksonville. So this is, you know, battle of the losers. I really thought Jacksonville had a chance in this game, and clearly they are not ready when all they had was 9 points, which I'm assuming is 3 field goals. I did not watch this game. I have better things to do with my life than watch a game between Carolina and Jacksonville. But
it was not 3 field goals.
It wasn't? They missed an extra point? Did they get a safety?
No. They failed to convert. I don't know if it was an extra point or if it was a 2-point conversion, because, you know, I didn't watch this game. But
no, exactly.
Blake Bortles threw for a touchdown. He threw the ball 40 times for 183 yards.
And yeah.
Oh, my Lord.
34. Yeah.
Did you watch this game, Tom? Did none of us watch this game?
I didn't, but I know that Blake Bortles had a poor game. The yards per pass were way low. I mean, if you're a Jacksonville fan, you're disturbed right now because you've seen some pretty poor quarterback play, and it looked like Bortles. It sounds like he really matched some of the worst that they've seen. So they better pick that up. There's no doubt about it.
And Jonathan, that stat line looks like he's 22 of 40 for 183 yards. That stat line looks like he's trying to hit his way out of a slump. Like that's terrible.
Alan Hearns was the leading receiver with 60 yards, and they had the leading receiver, and they still lost to Carolina 20-9. Carolina has no receivers, so that doesn't surprise me. But that's, man, talk about a crazy game.
They couldn't score on Carolina despite the fact that Luke Kuechly was out like for the entire second half with a concussion.
Yeah, so, I have him in my fantasy league. He had 10 points before he went out. I love that dude. And now he's got a concussion. He's like, he wins me my fantasy league when we play IDP. He's really great. But, yeah, that's a shame, that concussion. That looked like a gnarly concussion. I think he might be out for a couple weeks, unfortunately, which you never like to see. He may be one of the best linebackers in the league. That guy plays with no, you know, reckless abandon, no fear, truly a great player, and it's just a shame to see it result in a concussion. Let's move on to Seattle-St. Louis, because, I mean, obviously not much more we want to say about Carolina-Jacksonville. This was a crazy game, guys. Seattle is a team that was just in the Super Bowl. They were playing Nick Foles and the St. Louis Rams, and they gave up 34 points. Chancellor wasn't in the game. They no longer have Byron Maxwell, although he did not play very well and could not cover Julio Jones in my game. But now they're down to just two parts of the boom. All they got is Richard Sherman, who's not a lot of boom. A lot of talk, not so much boom. And then they have their, obviously, who's their other safety? Who's their other great safety out there?
Yeah, Earl Thomas.
Earl Thomas. Earl Thomas. Well. Yes, exactly. Oh, God, sadly. Earl Thomas and Sherman are all that are left, and they couldn't stop the St. Louis passing game and Nick Foles. What do you think, Tom? Is this a sign that Seattle is slipping and that division is maybe up for grabs?
They're definitely slipping. You could see it in the preseason. Their offensive line was putrid. I mean, it was really bad. And, you know, for the most part, I'm really surprised. I think people get used to seeing Seattle and just thinking Super Bowl team, and they don't – I think that, well, you know, I can hardly blame them for ignoring the preseason to some extent, but you got to keep an eye on what's going. The loss of Max Unger really hurt that team, and their line has been just completely unsettled all preseason, and they've looked really bad. Despite the fact that they scored, I think, 31 points, it's still really bad. I mean, I feel – a little sorry for them. They lose in the Super Bowl. It's, you know, 4th and 1 and you pass on it and it's intercepted, you know, but, and then this time you run the ball and the Rams run through that offensive line like they don't exist, like a hot knife through butter. And, you know, And you end up losing the ball game trying to at least do the right thing and run the ball with Marshawn Lynch at the very end. But, you know, I am not at all surprised that the Rams won. I think the Rams are really rough and tough up front. I think they're built to win in that division. And I think I'm surprised Seattle did as well as they did. I mean, I think Russell Wilson, as far as I can tell, he was under duress the entire game. And I think that offensive line is a real area of concern for them. And I think they're going to pay for not addressing it sooner. We'll see how things develop as the year goes on.
Yeah, I think they're right up against the cap, and I think they're having real trouble. They gave Russell that big contract, and it's going to be hard to fill these holes. Obviously, they're dumping great players who have big contracts, and they're trying to fill spaces, and it's not working so far. I do have to give one shout-out. I mean, Donald, right? Their DT, the St. Louis DT. I believe it's Aaron Donald, right? Yeah. He is a beast. 2 sacks, 5 tackles for five solo tackles from the DT position. I mean – woo, that is impressive. I think he might be the best, or at least the best young defensive tackle in the league who's kind of up and coming right now. I think he's going to the Pro Bowl. He had a great game. And, yeah, I thought Nick Foles had a great game, right? I mean, he played pretty well. He had a pass on their final drive, putting them in position for that field goal to win the game. That was amazing. Beautiful, on the money, made Sherman look like a punk. I love how Sherman is act like he's the best cornerback. Revis would never give up that play, brother. I hope you listen to this podcast, Sherman. Revis never gives up that play. You are not the best cornerback in this league. But he gives up the pass to the corner. The safety can't get over in time. The safety who's replaced Chancellor can't get over in time. And it was a beautiful pass, and I just have to give Nick Foles props. I don't think anyone, when we traded Nick Foles to St. Louis, thought that Nick Foles was going to go beat Seattle and put up 34 points on Seattle. Just very impressive. I have to, you know, tip my hat to Nick Foles. That's a great game. Patrick, do you have any thoughts on this game? Don't care. It's NFC. What are your thoughts?
I mean, I have two thoughts. One is I love the defense that Jeff Fisher puts on the field. And the second is I hate Jeff Fisher. I think he's a dirty coach. And like, regarded with such high praise and success for as long as he has when he has a pretty mediocre record. But whatever. I like his defense. So I'll get off my soapbox for a minute.
Yeah, I agree completely. The weird him like being treated as one of the, like, you know, godfathers of football makes no sense to me. I think he gets talked about with such reverence, and I'm like, show me, where are the wins? I don't know what you're talking about. New Orleans
committee, that must be it. Like that must be it. Like, everybody has to praise Jeff Fisher, because if they don't, the rules are going to get changed and hurt the team. Like, that's all I can think of.
No, totally, exactly. Yeah, exactly. He just has power in that way, and he's been around a long time. I mean, don't get me wrong; it's hard to last a long time in the NFL, but I want to see more results out of Fisher. And he's had some decent rosters. This isn't his first good roster. And hopefully, I mean, this year they take the division. We'll see. New Orleans, Arizona. This was an interesting game because I think these are two teams, right, that we all think we're very questionable about. New Orleans had a rough year last year, similar to Seattle. They're like a year ahead of Seattle, where they're definitely on the decline, unloading expensive players, trying to keep it together while Breeze is still there, but we'll see if they're able to pull that off. And then Arizona was a team that lost their quarterback mid last year and still kept it together to go 11-5, but clearly without their quarterback, they weren't going anywhere in the playoffs. We see here that Arizona trumped New Orleans and really had their way with them. Yeah, what do you think, Tom? Any thoughts on this game?
Yeah, a couple things. Number one, the Saints defense, their pass rush was pretty poor in this game, and that really hurt them badly, I think. And Arizona really did a good job of taking advantage of that. Carson Palmer looked pretty good in this game. Arizona's pretty rough and tough up front on both sides of the ball, and they handled New Orleans pretty well at the line of scrimmage. As far as I could tell, that has to be really disturbing if you're a Saints fan, because they spent the whole offseason trying to get tougher up front, and that's all you heard about, how they were going to be a tougher team and how they were going to be more physical. Boy, if they were, they sure didn't show it this game. They looked to me like they came out flat, and I think Sean Payton, you know, I happen to think he's a pretty good coach, but this game, his team didn't look ready to play. And I think I'd be worried if I was a New Orleans fan right now that if their whole season's like this, well, we saw the Falcons tonight. They're going to be considerably better if you just go by week one.
After I've seen this game, there's no question. The Falcons are a better team than New Orleans. The Falcons would have beat either of those teams. Maybe they would have struggled with Arizona, but they would have easily beat New Orleans. Yeah, I think they're taking this division, and I think New Orleans is going to be – they're going to be this next best team, but they're not going to be able to pull off much more than that. Detroit-San Diego. Yeah, what do you guys think on this game? I was surprised to see – it looked like San Diego was beating them. The score looks a lot better than it did. San Diego seemed to have a pretty, like, you know – healthy lead most of this game, and Detroit kind of made it close at the end there. What are your guys' thoughts? Any, Patrick, did you get a chance to see this game? Tom, any thoughts here?
I didn't see the game. I read the Chargers fan's recap, though. He actually had the opposite opinion. He said that the Chargers' first half was awful. He saw Rivers throwing some of the worst passes he's ever seen from Rivers. And they really turned it around in the second half with strong offensive line play and Rivers being on point.
Nice. I was very much watching it from the scores, you know, so I did not watch this game in full. I was, you know, I'd click in and see it a little bit. But interesting. Tom, any thoughts?
Yeah, a couple things. I did watch the majority of this game. And first thing, this is kind of a minor point for some people, but there have been a lot of questions about Melvin Gordon on San Diego. I had the distinct impression that he was on his way toward bust territory just based on the preseason. If you put any stock by that, he looked okay in this game. I won't say that maybe he looked like he was worth a first round pick yet, but he looked like he was fine. The guy to keep an eye on, of course, was Amir Abdullah. He is unbelievable. He accelerates like no back I think I've ever seen. He took a kickoff return 75 yards, and watching him run and make cuts, he loses no momentum when he makes a cut. And it's like watching a rocket gradually gain momentum and pull away out of the gravity well, away from the earth. I mean, he just, boom, he gets going, and he's tough to stop. You wouldn't believe how quick he is. I was very impressed. On the Lions side, Matthew Stafford looked very bad to me in the second half. I don't know what was wrong with him, but his accuracy was really suspect, and he wasn't on the same page with his receivers on occasion. I heard after the game that he was hurt in the second half. He came out with a wrap on his arm. He says he's okay. He says he's going to be able to start next week. If he does, he better do better than this because he looked really bad in the second half. Something was wrong there. I believe he was hurt. I don't know what it could possibly be, but I bet he was.
Wow. Listen, just to keep things moving along, or like, you know, don't want this to be too long, let's move on to Tennessee-Tampa Bay. Very interesting game. Obviously, the two quarterbacks picked back-to-back, first time ever. Someone who went first and second played each other, two quarterbacks in the first game. And obviously, Tennessee just destroyed Tampa Bay. Mariota had four touchdowns in the first half, the first time any rookie quarterback had ever done that in their first game. Yeah, what are your thoughts, Patrick? Do you have anything beyond the clear idea that Tennessee is a stronger team? Do you think Tennessee could be a contender this year?
I mean, maybe in their division, sure. My thoughts are Jameis Winston, as much as people are saying he got outplayed and looked bad, you know, this week, he had a better stat line than Blake Bortles, so there's that. And the other is for fantasy owners out there, and I know it's too late to draft a fantasy team, my biggest tip has always been while everybody else is going for their second and third, you know, players at a given position, take a tight end early and take one on a team as a rookie quarterback. Because Austin Seferian Jenkins is pointing out why you want to do that. Guy had 110 yards and two touchdowns. Right? Young quarterbacks love a decent tight end, you know,
totally.
Because opposing teams like to blitz, you know, young quarterbacks, and that just leaves the tight end open more often than not.
And also it's so close, right? They don't have to look far, right? They look up and the tight end is right there in the seam. It's not a read where you have to look to the outside. You know, you're not leaving one side of the field blind as you look to where the tight end is.
So there's that to look forward to if you're a Bucs fan. There's Austin Seferian Jenkins. And otherwise, I don't know, they're probably pretty terrible.
Yeah, I think the Bucks are going to be pretty bad this year. I am curious about Tennessee if they can be competitive, but I think the Bucks are going to be pretty bad. I mean, they're going to be pretty bad in a bad division. They've got, I mean, watching Atlanta today, there's no chance Tampa Bay can beat Atlanta. That's not going to happen.
Do you know how long the Titans have been irrelevant? The Titans have been irrelevant so long that every single time I look at their little logo with the T on it, I think of Jeff Fisher.
Exactly. That's how long it's been. Cincinnati, Oakland, obviously Carr got hurt in this game. Monty was talking real big about don't sleep on the Raiders and the Raiders this year. And then Andy Dalton came in and just totally dissembled them. Jeremy Hill, you know, obviously an impressive, but didn't have an amazing day. Putting up 33 points, man, just a rough day for Oakland. Do you have any thoughts, Patrick, about these two teams? Do you think Cincinnati is anything anyone should be worried about either?
Well, what did I just say about teams with mediocre quarterbacks? Tyler Eifert comes in with 9 catches and 2 touchdowns. But I have had a crush on the Raiders for a couple of years now, and I really had high hopes for Derek Carr. I suppose that's the guy. I should put that in the past tense. I really had high hopes for Derek Carr because I loved his David Carr coming out, and I was so disappointed when he just got hit into oblivion and could never play football effectively.
Ruined. Yeah.
But, and I've never seen that before or since, like where a guy clearly was ruined by his offensive line.
I feel like RG3 is close. That's the closest I've seen since him. What's happening, especially what Shanahan did to RG3, I thought was close. But I agree, Carr was – it was a whole other thing, and I think this is the problem with adding expansion teams, right, is just you lead yourself to, yeah, you can get that great pick, and then you have nothing to protect that or give that person weapons.
What exacerbated it with Carr the Elder was that their first expansion pick, you know, where they got to the expansion draft, was Tony Baselli from Jacksonville, who was coming off a knee injury and never played again. So it's like they put all their left tackle eggs in that one basket, and They broke their rule. What I really liked about the Texans when they came out, why I loved them, was that they were so methodical with how they assembled their team. And one of the cardinal rules is they weren't going to take a player over 30. And the only one that they took over 30 was their left tackle because he was so good. And, Bocelli was great, but he never played for them. But anyway, that's neither here nor there. So, I don't know. The only thing I like about the Bengals is English Simon. I think he's awesome. And the Raiders I actually really, really like.
Simon needs to settle down. It was the Raiders.
Yeah. And everyone knows. With Carr, I am sure everyone knows this, but just to be clear, they thought he may have broken his hand. Right now it's looking like he didn't break his hand, and he may actually be able to be back next week, which would be great news. Hold on one sec. I just got noticed that I think Tim is ready to come into this show. I'm going to add Tim right now. One second. Tim, how you doing, buddy? Tim.
Can you guys hear me?
We can. Hello. How you doing, buddy?
I'm doing fantastic.
I'm sure you are. That was a very good win.
I feel like I learned how to fly, and then I fell 800 feet, and then in the hospital they revived me. And then I fell out of the hospital bed and died again. And then I got revived again. So, I'm still trying to figure it out. And I know I won't have a voicemail, but I feel pretty good.
No, that's awesome, man. You guys had a great win. Definitely is going to help you in that division. It's going to keep you guys at the front of that division. So you guys all know, people who are listening, Tim is the super fan for the Falcons. His team just beat my team 26-24. Tim, before the game in our super fan battle, Tim was pretty sure that the Falcons were going to lose this game. But they didn't. They pulled it out. We had a horrible first half and then a very dominant second half, but it wasn't enough. I thought there were some awesome calls, bad calls that went in your favor, but what can you do? And obviously we can't stop Julio Jones. Julio Jones is incredible. I think he's going to have a great season for you guys. And Ryan had a great game, although he did throw the ball to like 5 Eagles and we only intercepted like 2 of them. But other than that, he had some really nice throws. But congratulations, Tim. Yeah, dude, awesome game. Who do you guys have next week?
Next week, I think we have the Giants. I'm going to have to look again. But another NFC East battle. And it should definitely be interesting. A lot different team than we had to face tonight, luckily. But, I mean, if the Giants learned anything, it's that if they want to take six-yard dump-offs over the middle, we'll let them have it the entire game. I don't know how many times I was screaming about us sitting in cover two and just giving up stuff in the middle and losing my mind.
That is so funny you say that. That's how I felt the whole first half. That's what you guys were doing. And what was driving me crazy is they wouldn't press Julio. You guys were bringing Julio in, so it was really close. It'd be like two other receivers split out, and he'd be basically lined up right on the edge of the tight end or as, you know, basically as the tight end. And we weren't giving a bump at all. He was getting clean releases. It was just a given. Of course, you're just going to throw it to him underneath over and over and over again. Oh, such a frustrating game. But I think their teams are both really good, man. And I have to say, Tim, your defense was way better than I was expecting. They did a great job. I think your offense is still suspect, and I think you guys were making play calls to protect that, and you did a good job of that. But the defense is really impressive, especially that front seven.
Yeah, I mean, I was really disappointed. I don't think we got a sack on you guys, but we definitely got in Sam Bradford's head on a lot of plays. Vic Beasley had a great play on the one where he jumped up and swatted the ball down on third down. That was fantastic. Really nice to see the first-round pick get in there and do something. But,
totally.
Yeah, you know, completely interesting because, you know, none of us really knew what was going to happen, you know, with our defensive line. But it looked like we were running two different groups depending on, you know, the formation you guys were coming out in. And, you know, seemed a little interesting, but it definitely worked. You know, on the drives where you guys were just chipping away and not making any changes, that's where we did get a little screwed because we went with our big front and you guys were sitting in the back with Sproles. And we did not have an answer for Darren Sproles. Why you guys didn't just continue to feed that man just blows my mind because every single time he touched the ball, he was gold tonight. And it really scares me for the two matchups against the Saints because C.J. Spiller could do the exact same thing to us. So definitely have to take the pick. And realistically, I don't feel good about the win. I'll take the win. But, I mean, it's just like the Cowboys win last night. We should be 0-1.
I agree. I do think we by the end of that game, were playing really well. And it's just an amazing play you guys made there to stop it. I had faith. When we got the ball back, I was like, oh, we're going to go down and score a field goal. No problem. I can't believe – I mean, it came down to us missing a field goal. If we had made that field goal, I would have also felt we would have won that game. But Cody Parker misses long ones. It was a 4th-and-1, and we should have just gone for it. I think in the future, Chip will do that now. But you guys played a great game, and you definitely deserved it. We had a horrible first half, and we should have played better. And because of that, you guys deserve that win. You know, you guys definitely were a part of us not playing well in that first half. But thanks for jumping in, Tim. Do you want to stick around for the rest of the show, or are you just stopping in to gloat a little bit before you're going to go?
I was stopping in to make sure that my team was well represented because I know in the past when I haven't been on and we've talked about my team, it's been thrown under the bus. I'm looking at you, AJ, with the Jets. So really just wanted to make sure that everything was on the up and up here. But
great.
I definitely respect you as a super fan. I had a great back and forth with you on Twitter. If anybody's interested, at Tim is hiding and at Sitco77. We had a great time.
Man, that was a great game to the very end. I love football. I'm glad we're back. I feel good too, Tim. Like I actually feel a little better. It's funny than you do coming out of it. I'm bummed we lost, but I was impressed with how we fought at the end. I'm glad we were able to overcome your dominant defense and start to do something by the end. I thought Bradford looked good for a dude who hasn't played in 2 years. You know, I'm totally happy with how he played. He's the best quarterback we've had in Philly in a long time. As long as he stays healthy, I'm happy. Congratulations, though, man. That is an awesome win for you guys. And I think you're now my vote for that division. You guys are going to take that division.
Mark, nice. This is why Ramona calls you sunshine and rainbows.
That might be a little bit of the drinks talking. I watched the games, had a couple. That might be my joy there. But I don't think so. I mean, I really do. I if you guys had just continued that first half and we lost 35, I don't know if I could have done the podcast. I was so upset. I watched the game with my dad. The main reason I'm an Eagles fan is because of my dad. So, you know, opening game, we got together to watch it together. And we were pretty bummed, man. We both, I made him a drink. I had a drink. We were both like, oh, man, this is not what we were expecting.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's not what I expected either. You know, at halftime, you know, like I said on Twitter, I was like, I'm too surprised to be happy right now. And you know, realistically, you know, being a season ticket holder, this is my 3rd year doing it. We've seen this team fall apart so many times in the second half that when You know, that interception was thrown, what, the first play of the second half?
It was golden.
Usual. Like, no one was surprised in the dome. Like, everyone around me in our seats was just like, typical Falcons, here we go again. Mike Smith was on the same team. realistically, you know, I mean, it was fun. It was interesting, but I'm terrified of this team. Real talk, one last thing, all right? Third and one for the Falcons. You're trying to milk the clock. Who the hell calls a sweep? Honestly.
No, honestly, I totally hear you, man.
Did I hear Patrick on here? Patrick, if it's third and one, what do the Patriots do every single time? They hand it to Tom Brady, and they push him forward for a yard and a half. Why don't you do that with Matt Ryan right there? If you do that with Matt Ryan right there, there's no punt. There's no
play. I think that's your new center standing in front of Fletcher Cox and Benny Logan and being like, I don't think I can
do
that.
I don't care. Man up.
The thing I love, I do have to say, I was very impressed, like I tweeted at you, is that we were down 17 at half and we had to kick to you and then we came back and got the lead. That should be a win. If you're up by 17 and you get the ball at the end of half, like, you should win that game. And so the fact that we were able to come back and get the lead and have a chance, I was just very impressed with. In Madden, I would never lose that game.
I will provide a counterpoint and say that, you know, I was at the Patriots-Bears game when they played in Champaign, and all the Bears had to do was gain a yard on third down to end the game. And Scott Chandler tried running a dive and got broken for the rest of his life, and or a sneak rather, and the Patriots were able to come back, you know, and win the game. So there is a downside to the sneak. It's not always a given.
Totally, especially if they know it's coming, you know, which I assume is why they did that. They thought that that's what we were thinking. That was an amazing play by Malcolm Jenkins. I mean, I think you're underestimating also that for him to come in and be able to duck your tackle, he ducked your left tackle and then got upfield and made that play. It was just a beautiful play by Jenkins. But thank you for coming in, Tim. I am going to jump over now to the next game. We have to move on. We're going to move on to Baltimore-Denver. Tim, feel free to stick around if you'd like, or I will talk to you guys soon. With the Baltimore-Denver game, Patrick, do you have any thoughts? Obviously, Denver pulled this out, but it looked like neither team was really high scoring. What are your thoughts?
It's really weird. If you read the two superfan, you know, corresponding thoughts in the game, it's weird in that they both kind of thought the same things about their teams and each other's teams without corroborating first, and that they're both wondering, is Manning really done? He doesn't look like he can put his feet underneath him. You know, or is the Ravens' defense better than we thought it was? I don't know. Is the Ravens' offensive line in serious trouble, or you know, can the Broncos just really get after it? I don't know. Mm-hmm. You know, it's funny. They're both like, I don't know what to think about my team. Is this one aspect of my team really good, or is the other team just garbage? And it was both of them going back and forth on it. It was really interesting. Which, you know, it's interesting academically. What it means is that it's probably a pretty mediocre game played by two mediocre teams, neither one of which I particularly care for.
Yeah.
I can tell you what the answer to those questions are, because I watched this game. Yes, Peyton Manning's done. He's got a huge windup. He's wearing a glove now, which he claims gives him more zip on the ball. I sure didn't see it. He wasn't very accurate, can't throw the ball deep. There's a real problem there, and we're going to hear about it all season. Both offensive lines were bad. Neither one could handle the other defense. The other defense was pretty good, but still, you're in the NFL. You're supposed to be good, too. The offensive lines, I'm officially concerned about both. I think that both offensive lines look really bad. If I were the fans of these teams, I'd be very concerned.
Johnny Manziel, Blake Bortles, and Jameis Winston all threw for more yards than Peyton Manning. Frightening.
Yeah, frightening. It's awful. He looked really bad. Especially for Peyton Manning, it was almost sad to watch. His arm is gone. I mean, it really is.
It's so sad. I mean, I love him, and I think he's a great player, but we'll see. I mean, people said this about Brady last year, so I'm going to give him a little bit the benefit of the doubt. I'm going to give him at least four games, but this game does not look good, and if he goes downhill from here, I mean, yeah, that team is done. They need to – but maybe they'll have a horrible season this year, and then they can draft somebody new. They can pull an Indianapolis Colts and just replace Peyton easily. It's going to be interesting. Very interesting division there.
Before we move on, Mark, I want to hear your thoughts about Terrell Suggs' torn Achilles.
Thank you. You're welcome. Karma's really awesome. You know what happens when you're cheap and you throw cheap blows on people? God takes your Achilles heel for the second time. You're done. Sit down, Suggs. I'm so happy. I mean, I don't mean to be happy for his injury, but I have major sympathy when players get hurt, but not when it's a cheap player like that. When you went after my quarterback, and you know he sat out a year, Suggs knows what that is. He knows how dirty and cheap that is to take from a man, and he still went for it. I'm just, great. That's karma, sucka, and Baltimore's not going anywhere this year, and when you come back, I hope it's fun. Try not to buy any fireworks and blow your hands up. Speaking of blowing your hands up with fireworks, New York Giants at Dallas. This game was crazy. These teams both looked bad, I thought, for most of the game. Neither team was playing well. Our super fan for Dallas, Brian, would tell you that the quote was, no other quarterback would be able to orchestrate the drive he had to win the game. I find that funny because he was going against a Giants defense that is a joke, and he basically threw two under checkdown passes to Dunbar that Dunbar ran for a long distance, and then he threw one pass to Witten, one of the best tight ends in the league, just running a button hook in the end zone. I don't think it was some amazing drive. I mean, look at Russell Wilson throwing that pass to Lynch and that pass on the right. That's an amazing drive. Just throwing to two checkdowns in front of a bad defense who's playing prevent because they're scared out of their minds. Not so impressive. I also want to point out, people love with Dallas, everyone's so on their horse about, like, Romo's clutch goes down and wins a game. What about the end of the second half when he threw an interception? And if the Giants had the offense to drive the ball in and score a touchdown, that game would have been over. Romo, that's perfect Romo. He's clutch, and he's also the guy who will cost you the game. I'm not scared of either of those teams. I was more confident at it before I saw my team play poorly tonight. But we're going to beat Dallas, I think, next week. They're coming to Philly, and I think we're going to beat them. The Giants, I think, really don't have it. That team has no defense, and they really only have ODB. I mistakenly thought Atlanta was like the Giants, where they just had a good quarterback and a good wide receiver and nothing else. But that's not true. Atlanta's a much better team than the Giants, and I think the Giants are pretty mediocre. Do you guys have anything to add to that game? Sorry, just to jump into rants. You got me fired up with that Suggs talk. Any thoughts on the Giants-Dallas game?
I'd like to just add one thing, and that is I know the Giants don't have much going for them, but I did keep an eye on Ereck Flowers, their first-round pick. He looked good at left tackle. He might have a pretty good future in the league, and I thought it was worth pointing out.
Yeah, for sure. And then obviously we should mention Dez out for 4 to 6 weeks with a broken foot. That's a shame. He broke his foot without even, like, no one hitting him or anything. It was one of those just a large man coming down weird on his foot, and he broke a bone in his foot, and he's done for 4 to 6 weeks, needs surgery. And then obviously the other one is Randy Gregory. While they're waiting for Hardy to come back off suspension, Randy Gregory gets a high ankle sprain. The Eagles are now going to face them with a much, depleted that's the right word. I guess depleted will work. A depleted pass rushing attack, and then definitely an offense. I also want to point out Goldilocks Beasley had a nice fumble. That guy is not as good as Brian would like to us all to believe. He is not going to go to the Pro Bowl as a slot receiver. Sorry. He's not one of the best slot receivers in the league. Let's move on now. My game we already covered. We're down to the final game, guys. Minnesota at San Fran. They're still in the middle of this game right now, and San Fran is winning 7-0. I'm sure none of you guys have been able to watch much of this, but do you have any thoughts on these teams or what's happening in this game?
So Reggie Bush left the game with a foot injury, apparently.
I have the numbers here. They're almost identical. Bridgewater's 9 for 15. Kaepernick is 9 for 14. Bridgewater has 94 yards. Kaepernick has 78 yards. It looks like a defensive battle. So I'm very curious. As we get off this podcast, I will jump in and check out how Minnesota's defense looks.
What about Adrian Peterson? Do you have the stats?
14 yards.
Yeah, 4 for 14. Not to 3.5. Nothing too impressive. I mean, on the other side of the ball, you have Carlos Hyde running 12 for 83, 6.9 average, and has a touchdown already. Obviously, Carlos is out playing Adrian so far. I wonder if Adrian's going to have to warm up. You know, I don't know. It's been a while since he's played. It may be a little while till he gets in a rhythm. He also has two receptions for 19 yards, to be clear.
I've been kind of watching. It looks to me like the 49ers are bound and determined to make Teddy beat him. And it's going to be interesting to see if he can do that. I'm a big Teddy Bridgewater fan. This is the kind of game that he should be able to, you know, with him stacking the box to stop Adrian Peterson, this is the kind of game that they should put in his hands and have him pull out. We'll have to wait and see whether that can happen in the second half. Looks like they have some adjustments to make.
It's like it's not happening in the first half. I mean, if Peterson's got 14 yards and Bridgewater's got 94, I mean, that 49ers defense that I thought retired in the offseason seems to be playing pretty well.
Yeah, this has been my stance the whole time. I think it was all this doomsday, like that team was falling apart. And they still have some really good players. Obviously, they're able to shut down Minnesota, which isn't a juggernaut team. But if they beat Minnesota handedly tonight, I mean, I think that's a good win. Adrian Peterson is not a joke. I think that, you know, Bridgewater is one of the better young quarterbacks. They have some decent wide receivers, especially compared to the Niners. You know, I would take the Minnesota receivers over the Niners receivers.
Minnesota's got problems in that offensive line, and it's every time I look up, it's really showing up because it looks like the 49ers just have them under siege right now. Wow. That's just like occasionally just looking up at the screen. But the score obviously reflects it. It looks like that's where the weak point is on that team. And the 49ers look like they're really exploiting it. Obviously, they're not doing much with the ball either. So it looks like a defensive battle.
All right, guys. Well, we will get off the podcast now, see how this ends up. We have another podcast coming up on Thursday. We will have super battles going into next week. Thank you, guys. Tom, Patrick, I can't thank you enough for joining me on my sad evening. As I'm dealing with my first loss of the year. I really appreciate it. You guys were, it's great for you guys to come out and give me a hand. If you want to follow these guys, you're going to find Patrick. Find him on Next Fan Up at NFU Podcast. You can also find us on Facebook at Next Fan Up. Patrick is our Patriots super fan. I think they're going to be really good this year. Pod is also a big Patriots fan. So, yeah, they're great people to follow and kind of, yeah, keep up your Pat's love. Tom, can you get your Twitter one more time?
At TSHANNO, and you can also find me at www.bearingthenews.com. I run a blog there.
Oh, awesome. And so, yeah, just so you know, that's his last name is Shannon. That is T Shannon, at T Shannon for Twitter.
But the end's not there. It doesn't have the end on it. I couldn't.
T Shannon?
Yes.
T. Shano. Gotcha. Awesome, guys. Please follow us. We'll be back, like I said, on Thursday. This was a great first weekend of football. I'm so glad football is finally back. Now we will have, you know, really get to see where these teams are and where we're going. With that being said, I am going to close off. Thank you guys for being here.
Well, we're on to Cincinnati.